Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day, this night, and this beautiful day you've given to us, Lord, and thank you for these who come back for this special service tonight. Every Easter Sunday for years, we've had a time of dedicating children, their father, or parents, and babies that come into the world to you, the parents and family that wanted to. And so tonight, we thank you for this time. Pray you bless the Word of God as it's proclaimed. Let us understand why we do what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be turning with me to Psalms 127, if you will. Now, I'd just like to mention, I don't know how many saw CNN this afternoon at all. After I got through studying a little while, I looked at some news things, and the statement was made by now CNN is a liberal television station, but it's made by a man on that station they were interviewed talking to, and they said, and down at the bottom of the screen, they also put this on there, that Christians are suffering more today than they have since the first century in this world. That means that Christians today are suffering in this world more so than they did under the Roman Empire, which was bad in that first century. That shows to say that lets us know the hostility against the child of God is heavy in this world today. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus told us they hate us because they hated him. That's the only reason they're doing it. They hate him. They hate the Jews because, that battle between Ishmael and Isaac back in Abraham's day is going on right now because God favored Isaac over that. They don't know why they're doing it, but that's the reason. It goes back to his particular day. So don't think it's going to get any better. By the way, Obama is not a peacemaker. These people right now, he's trying to make peace with. It may sound good, but we're headed for some dark days in this country and on this world. And for someone to look at history and say that our history today is worse against Christians than since the first century, that's a pretty broad statement. And by the way, unless something is done, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But tonight we're here for the purpose of thanking God for children coming into the world. And I want to look in Psalms 127 for a few verses and then turn to 1 Samuel. And we're going to talk about four elements required to dedicate a child to God. When you talk about children coming this world, God says, first of all, if you look in verse 3 of chapter 127 of Psalms, he says that, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. If I understand that, a heritage means that someone owns somebody and what they have is theirs. And so when you talk about children being the heritage of the Lord, that means every child that's ever born through procreation is God's. It's a heritage to him. And he lends them to us for a purpose that we may train those children biblically, that he's left us the manual to go by, in turn that they would walk to fear God Almighty. When we talk about children today, a lot of things have been said. I read recently where one family wanted to adopt a child, but they said they didn't want a baby. And the reason for it, they wanted to adopt a child that had a job. Well, that's pretty good, I think. Evidently, they didn't want to raise one up. Another mother described her two-year-old. She said that he was like a blender with no top on it. If you ever held a baby, you know what we're talking about there, too. And then another mother said that she had an eight-year-old boy one time that came to her, and he was kind of mischievous, and came to her and said, Mother, had he ever been adopted? And she said, yes, but they brought him back every time. Well, here God has said, children are heritages of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. And in verse 4, he says, as ours are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Then happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be shamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. There's something about children as a heritage of God that gives to man through procreation that God Almighty blesses if they're trained right. Now, in 1 Samuel, we see an example of what we're talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24, 25, down a few verses. Here is where we have an example where a person in the Old Testament named Hannah had a son given to her by God. First, she never had a child. And because she had the child, she promised that if God would give her a child, she had been without child, she'd give the child back to the Lord. And when she had the child, she kept her promise. And here she's come to the temple now to give Samuel back to the Lord as he talks to Eli again, the prophet, and said, he said this, or the priest. He said, and when she had weaned him, she took him up, or took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah and a flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. And you go back verses before this, sake of time, you can see that. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Now, therefore, because of this, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, amazing about this, this was a young man, and he said the last phrase was, and he worshiped. That is, you see, Samuel worshiped the Lord. Now, I'm sure he didn't worship him as an adult would, but somehow or another, there is something he had learned from his mother, no doubt. Worship of a child to the Lord may just be saying simple things about the Lord, may be saying a simple prayer. God looks at simplicity when those who don't know a lot, if they give God. And I think in this case here, this child was certainly maybe a few years old, not mighty old, that she brought him. I know he was weaned at that, if you see that, and sometimes say, well, that could be, you know, he could be just a few months old. But there are times when some children are not weaned from some mothers. I think it's too long, maybe 2 or 3 years in times past in some culture. But whatever this was, this young fellow worshiped God in his own way. And I kind of visualize him as may have said a prayer he'd been taught, or somehow or another the situation is there. But I want to look at four elements required in dedicating your child to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Did you know that any male can produce a baby? But just being able to produce a baby has not been a father. And this world we're living in today, there seems to be an electing of the fact that because a person can produce a baby, don't necessarily mean they have to be a father. We're seeing that a lot. But we do know this, that God Almighty puts a responsibility on children because he said they're heritage. And once they're born into a family, it's up to the family, which is the first organization that was started, for them to raise that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And at the same time, then the church in the age of grace is given the responsibility to see to it that's helped along the way as we do things for God this side of eternity. So in the eyes of the world, a man may be called a father as far as being the father of a child, but God has instructions for a father, just like he does a mother. And that instruction is the fact that understanding children are lent to us. Now, we thank God Almighty for that time, for those who many times, and we have many people who had children in marriage and husband run off somewhere or another and left and so forth. We've had that, and the children themselves were raised by a single parent. And I'm glad that God will honor that person who does their best to try to raise that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But children are the heritage of the Lord. A father has a responsibility towards God to raise that child as much so as anybody does. But then again, thank God for those that fail to do so. We have a situation where God can still help that child to grow up in an atmosphere to serve the Lord. The question is this, though. Have you ever given your child back to God? Someone said one time, I'd like to give him back, but I lost a receipt. But God wants us to know that there is a heart desire to give that child back to God. When Barbara and I got married, I thought that I had two or three theories of raising kids. But after two children, I found out that I had two children with no theories at all. You can read any book you want to, and it won't come out like it should come out. Everything is different. Sparks may have been right on some things, but most things he was wrong. Amen. Because everything don't happen just like someone says it happens. Children are individual personalities, and I'll tell you, those personalities will come out, and most of the time won't be another one just like that personality, because it's a different person as they come into this world. Three children. when a child was born to this family, he had three children, and the mother said one time, that little boy came to him and said, Mother, what would you like to have for your birthday this year? And she said, Son, I'd like to have three well-behaved children. He said, Mother, if you had that, you'd have six of us. They'll never understand what you're talking about when those times come. So as we look at that, the question is, have you ever recognized that your child was a gift from God, and therefore he lends them to us for a purpose and a great responsibility? And where are we at? We must not We must take that responsibility seriously in light, that they belong not to God Almighty first and not to us. Also, we have to realize that God is responsible for the way in which we were designed and already knows the plan and purpose for it for their future. You see, sometimes there have been people, young men who've been born in certain circumstances and came giants for God, and they didn't have the advantage that some people have a mother and dad both who were saved and had a Christian home under that type of leadership. God leaves it up to you and I to show them His way first. God has asked us who are parents to bring our children and put them on the altar for God. And this is the type of way of doing that when we dedicate them to the Lord. We find the Bible gives many examples of parents who brought their children to God and gave them back to Him. And I want you to note some things that happened. Just a couple of these parents that we'll look at. Hannah, for instance, brought her son to Samuel, to Eli the priest, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in these verses we just read. And here, Abraham giving Isaac back to God in Genesis 22, verse 1 through 13. Isaac was a miracle baby born to Abraham. He was 100 years old when there should not have been biologically a possible way to do that. Sarah, his wife, was 90 years old. Biologically, it's impossible. Isaac was a miracle baby to this family. That's all there is to it. When you look at it. Now, looking at it this way, the best thing that was ever done for Isaac. Now, hear this. The best thing that was ever done for Isaac was to surrender him back to God and even offer to kill him at the command of God because he loved him so much, he was willing to give that which he loved back to God. Now, sometimes you hear tell away these maverick things. Somebody say, well, I did this to my child because God told me to. There's no reason for God to tell anyone else to do anything like that. You know why? Because that's been fulfilled according to the time of Jesus Christ. And a lot of bit lessons to be taught and learned in the Old Testament, he'd have no need. Jesus Christ has already come. God's already shown his love to this world. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to give my child like so many people do. That's paganism in their day. Give their child to some idol somehow or another, kill it and say they give it to their God. Because that's satanic today. But in Abraham's day, the best thing that he could have done is do what God said do. Now, what if Abraham had not given Isaac back to God? Suppose he had not gone and give Isaac on that mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know Isaac would have lived and died in obscurity and nobody would have known who he was in our particular day? The only way that they could do it is for Abraham to believe God enough. No wonder he's in the book of Hebrews about his faith. He didn't waver at his faith, by the way. And if you get down to it, you and I have advantage on Abraham. You know why? We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Word of God complete. And yet how Abraham got this word from God to take his son and show forth the offer to him because love his own son. And God said, I see you love God more than your son, though he loved his son. And Abraham believed God. Did you know Abraham believed with all his heart, if you read that record, that when he went up, he told those men with him, we're going yonder to worship God and we're coming back. Now, how could he say he's coming back when God said, you get up there, son, you put him on the altar and you slay him? Did you know that he knew in his mind that he was going to do what God said do? What advantage would he have? You know, Abraham believed that God, if he did that, God would raise him from the dead. Why? He believed that God was going to give him a seed. He knew that he would have a nation. That's how much he believed God. And he had no ways the power you and I have in today by having the Word of God like we have it, having the Spirit of God living in us to bear witness to our heart, everything that God tells us that we should be doing in this life. And so, because Abraham obeyed God and gave Isaac back to God, Isaac received the fullness. Here's this. Isaac received the fullness of God's blessed, best plan and promise for his life. Isaac became a wealthy man and the forefather of God's own son through the genealogies that Jesus would be born when he came to sit on the throne of David. Isaac's life is still having an impact. Not only has it hundreds of years ago and a few thousand years ago happened, had impact of a nation and Jesus Christ coming and having a throne, but did you know Isaac's life is still having an impact on blessed millions of people worldwide today through his offspring, Jesus Christ, by us being born into the family of God? We are direct of his offspring through the new birth. Because it's through Jesus Christ that we have advantage of this in our particular day. Now, Jesus Christ died many years ago for us. for God's people to refuse to dedicate their children to our Lord. It may be forfeiting God's best plan for them and the best purpose for their lives. What does it mean to dedicate our children to God? And I said before, male can make a baby, but only God has given us instructions for what a father is. And I have 4 points, and we have dedication. That's it. Number one is this. I call these the four C's. Number one is this. Dedicating your child to God is a confirmation of your love to God. We did this with our children. Fortunately, in the 30 years before, I dedicated both our children. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that probably some of the things had gone in their lives, and God has kept that check because we gave them to the Lord back when they were real small. They didn't even know what was happening. And they have a lot of things they have to face in this life. And I don't think they have a chance. They don't have a chance unless the family wants to dedicate them to the Lord. And I believe when you do that honestly and set that atmosphere, I believe that whatever they have to go through when they grow up in adults, in this evil world, they're going to have to face a lot. But they'll always come back because God keeps His word. You don't never give up because God keeps His word. And I don't care how good you try to train one, they're going to kick the harness once in a while. It's like the farm mule. We had a Tennessee mule I heard you hear me tell many times. I mean, she had to be broke. One of the finest mules you could ever use. But we first got her, she was wild as a bat. And you'd put her in the harness, she'd be out on it in a few minutes. But about 10 years, she was about as humble as anything you'd ever seen. You ever seen that happen? Where one time you couldn't keep a line on her, then you could plow and not even have to have a line. Boy, I love that. You fall in love with a mule if they obey you, I'll tell you that. But what I'm saying to you, children will have a time in this evil world. They are attracted. Listen, I feel so sorry for kids being born and raised today because they got so much more been attracted than I ever had to face. And to be honest, if you got an age on you, same to you. At least there are some morals where we went around town. And if there's a place somewhere people ought not to go, it was a red light district. And it was put off limits. But anywhere else just about, they'd have morals enough to know that if they saw something not to be right, they would in a loving way reprimand that or say not do that or whatever it may be. And that helped many times. But nowadays, more than likely, they're telling somebody, you know, it's all right. You're your own now. You don't have to listen to what your mother and daddy have to say. Well, I'm from the old school. Amen? You put your feet under my table, you're going to have to listen to me a little bit. You say, that's bragging. No, that's the old school. Amen. He used to tell me years ago, you make your bed, you lie in it. I ain't heard that in a long time. I mean, you're an old timer that's heard that, haven't you? I guarantee you years ago, when you left home and you came back for some reason or other, and they'd say, well, you made your bed, you're going to have to lie in it. God helps us make that bed, though, and that's what this is about. Dedicating your children to God's confirmation. Our children are the most prized possession we have, yet we must not let them take the place of God. We can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. To dedicate a child to God and mean it is to love God more than you love your child. Here shows that you want to be the very best for him or her. And that's what this is. And I thank God for this family because they want the best for this child. Not only that, but the grandparents. They want the best for this child. And by the way, that's what it takes to want the best for a child. God wants us to have the best. How is that? Give them to God and create atmosphere for them that they would grow up in the things of God. And here, yet our children are the most prized possession. To dedicate a child, it means to love God more than you love your child. Here shows that you want that very best for that child. Abraham proved his love for God by offering his son Isaac. We'd have never seen the measure of his love had he not obeyed God to give his son to Isaac when God said do it. And we see that. And we see what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. As he said in verse 37 and 38. And Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me, not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow me, he said, is not worthy of me. So there's some things God has said that if we don't obey him in what he says do, even we're not worthy of him. So first of all, dedicating your child to God is a confirmation of your love for God. Number two, dedication of your children to God is a clarification of ownership. God said they're heirs to him. When you dedicate a child to God, you're open to declaring that really these children are heritage of God. This child's a gift from God. The child, I don't care where a child is born in this world, it's still a gift to those people. This child does not really belong to that individual. He belongs to God, and they have the privilege that God has given them back to train him and her. It's like that when you have the wonderful privilege of birth coming to you, God has given you a child, and God is saying to you that you need me to help, and now give him back to me. Then I'll give him back to you to train. And I'll tell you how to train him. I'll give you instructions about the training of the child. You have the privilege to love and train that child. Abraham was saying, Lord, this young man belongs to you. Do with him what you want to do. Psalm 127:3, he's a heritage of the Lord. God did not authorize the state. God did not authorize the daycare centers to raise kids, though that's good to have them when you have to. God first gave the home the place to raise children. And that's Bible. Now, the world's thrown that out, but that's true. Even today, not only do we find confirmation and clarification, number three, declaring your children to God is a commitment to raise them God's way. How is God's way? Learn as much about this book as I can, because this is his manual. To give your child to God is not a ceremony. It is a commitment. If you look in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, you'll find that God simply says this, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I say again, this is not just a ceremony. This is a commitment from the love of those in that family. To be a dedicated, godly parent, we must tell them about Jesus. This little fellow needs to learn, Jesus loves me, this I know. If he does, he'll never forget it. My mother and daddy never took me to church much in early years. They never went with me to church, you heard me say. But they had something because his mother made us go. And I heard that song. I sung that as a little boy without mother and dad. God, Jesus loves me, this I know. But I'll tell you, after the years, somebody said, well, I've heard people say, well, my mother and daddy made me go to church. That's the reason I got out of church. I'm not going back. I thank God my mother and daddy made me go to church because I got saved because of that. Amen. And then I had the privilege to see them get saved. That's why I got saved. So God put something in his heart to let us see the importance of church. And at the same time, we realize that sometimes there are things that goes wrong and takes place that we have no control over. God wants us to keep them in church, love and pray and train the child. And when they come together, two people come together in matrimony, there ought to be the fact that the family stays together for that child to see what God is making for them and make a home a holy place, put away worldliness and live a godly life. Baby dedication is not a magical ceremony. This ceremony means nothing if you are not making a sincere lifelong commitment to raise your child in the way of the Lord, like Joshua said in Joshua 24. I have a lot of people call from time to time, say, preacher, I want to dedicate my baby. I say, well, we do that here once a year. We don't do it every time someone gets a call. And I say, well, why do you want to do that? Well, I just want to do that, but I just feel to give back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, it does no good at all to give a child back to God unless the parents are willing to do what God says to do to raise that child. Because God's going to do what he's going to do to that child anyhow if he can, but he wants to have it in an atmosphere where they're taught the things. God gave Israel responsibility to teach their children first about the things of God. And it's a tremendous thing of a commitment to God. This ceremony means nothing, again, if you not have a sincere commitment to God. So this kind of commitment is what God's looking for. So not only is dedicating a child to God for confirmation, and also for clarification, and also for commitment back to him of committing yourself to do what he said do. But the fourth thing, dedication your child to God, is the claiming of God's plan and promise for that child's life. And that's what Abraham was doing. Lord, he's yours. You use him. I'll do what I can to raise him, but you know the plan. I don't know what he can do. You already know. Did you know there's no way in the world to tell any child that's here the day you can know what they're going to do 20 years from now? But God does. God does. And God sees things that I guarantee you that we don't see. He can see something in a person that the world never sees. That person say, I'll tell you, I don't see how that person even gets saved. He don't believe he got saved. Just give a little time. Watch and see what God can do. I've seen people say, well, I didn't believe God called such and such to preach the gospel and become one of the greatest preachers in our time just about as far as what he was doing, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. God can take anybody and make something out of them, folks, other than what this world makes out of them at the time. So Isaac inherited God's blessings. He inherited his protection. He inherited his promise. He literally did this because of his dead Abraham giving him back to God. And so to give your child back to God is the claiming of a child, a claiming of God's plan and purpose for that child's life. And so these four C's again, this is what it means to dedicate a child to God or dedicate children to God. It means it's a confirmation of your supreme love for Christ. God said do it, and your love for him makes you do it. It is a clarification of ownership that God says they're mine, I love you, they're heritage of the Lord. You can't divide what Psalms 127 says. It says it's a commitment to raise the child under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's also the claiming of God's best plan and promise for your child's life. Abraham was confirming when he did what God said, his love and fear of Jehovah God. Lord, you said it, I don't understand it, but I know this, you promised me a seed, you gave me a miracle child, you promised, you said it would be in Isaac, that's what's amazing about it. It's in Isaac your seed's going to be blessed. He promised them a nation before you have a child. And now in Isaac, and you're going to have me kill my son as an offering? Don't realize, though, all the events took place where Jesus will be doing it years later in the same place. Isn't it amazing how the history before forerun what Abraham and Isaac did to the coming of Jesus Christ when he would be killed on Calvary? A picture there that God showed this world. So Abraham was confirming his love and fear of Jehovah by obeying him. He was clarifying that Isaac really belonged to God, and God had lent him to him for a purpose of raising. He was committing to be a godly parent. Lord, I want to be used to raise the child for your glory. Help me, God, set the example, because I'll be the first example they see as they grow up and learn to go in this particular life. And then Abraham was claiming God's plan and his purpose for Isaac, because when he obeyed God, he was saying, God, you see his plan and his purpose. I don't. And if I would do what I need to do daily in a realm of teaching around the things of God and walk that life, that would be how God will bring out somewhere down the road. Even if they kick the harness along the way, God's going to bring out a true meaning about himself in that child. He's going to reflect that in the child. He was claiming God's plan and promise for Isaac. So we looked at the confirmation, we looked at the clarification, we needed a commitment, you need to claim it. And as God told Abraham, and as God looked at Hannah, so should we do what they did. Our children deserve the best. And the best to the poorest person in this land, materialistically, is to give them to God. They'll have the best. There are some people who have silver spoons to eat out of that will never know Jesus Christ. And sometimes the poorest people in the world live a life that their children see God in them and they get the best. So tonight we rejoice with this family and encourage them because they're willing to donate this little one. Miranda, thank God your parents and all together realize how important this is. Thank God you realize how important it is that you're willing to give that little one back to God tonight. And you're saying, Lord, it's yours. I don't know all to do. See, God knows 15 years from now if the Lord don't come back where he's going to be. And somehow or another, he's going to use that environment to train him for where he's going to be. And the thing about it is, the day in our day, there's a lot of times. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this before we do the dedication. You see, when a child is born into this world, the environment of that which is around the church and around the home that's godly is all they see, with a little input from other things. Now, because of a fallen nature, they call us hiding people and keep them shut up in a religious world. No matter how stern you hold that atmosphere, there's coming a time as they go in this world that there's going to be some things that Satan will penetrate that wall to make that child think there's something better than what you offer. How do I know that? That's what Satan did to Adam and Eve. And we're no different. And what will happen when they, listen, when they come, when Satan comes with that offer, he's going to offer something that looks so great that a lot of stuff you've been teaching just don't seem right to the flesh. And first thing that happens, they say, well, someone will say, you have 50 people tell, well, your mother and dad may have been wrong or was wrong. This is something you enjoy. And the flesh enjoys it so much. But listen, sin never pleases. Sin leads to disaster. But you know, you can't take, you take a little child. You say, you heard me say before, that heater, old Pop Belly shows you, that heater's hot. He doesn't believe that until he touches it. And then he'll not touch it anymore. Sometimes they don't believe that that which they hear, which Satan says is the best or better than what you have. And then they try it and try it. Next thing, they're so far along. And there's so many who wants to condemn them by condemning, keeps pushing them. And next thing you know, you find that they're out there and you wonder what and where we're going to do. If we're not done something back here like we should, it's too late then. But if it's back here, God says, I will bring them back. You train them up the way it should go, and I will back there. See, the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God works on people to counteract what Satan does. But sometimes the first impact that we see something, it's so oppressive to us, or so impressive to us, we think that's a better way until we try it. And all of a sudden we'll see it's not worth it. Why? Only thing that God gives us is worthwhile. And that's what he does. We're tricked a lot of times into things even when we've grown up in an environment where God himself is at. And that's the reason we say again, you give the children back to God. He lends them to you then for the purpose to train. This is our textbook. And when we do that, and this word is hid in our heart, Psalmist said, and I hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Most, ladies and gentlemen, all the talk that mother and dad can say from the mouth don't do much to tell a person what they ought to do. But when this word is read and taught, the Holy Spirit hides it in their heart. And it might become a time that it's hit so far down, they don't believe anything is going to happen. They hear this and they go after it. It looks so good. Your mother and dad's an old Christian, folded from the old school. You need, hey, and it looks so good. After a while, you get out here and you're so burdened down like the prodigal son in the hog pen. And you begin to wonder, how did I get myself in this mess? And then patiently as God waits, the word of God begins to come up into his heart, and suddenly he begins to realize this is not what I was taught. I listen to how many times Bar and I counsel people and they've told us, I wished I hadn't been. I wished I hadn't taken the trail I went. But at the time I thought it was the best, but I found out it was a disaster. That's where sin leads us. And now because of that, that word comes up in their heart. And God begins to talk to them and speak to them in the hour, what's in there that's been hid. And then suddenly that word draws and brings them round about to the place that they'd have peace with God again. It starts what we're fixing to do right now. Amen.